November 11th, 2021. November 11th, of course, that means we mark Veterans Day today. Happy Veterans Day. And it's also a very special day for me because my seven-year-old, my big boy, turned seven today. Eli, I thank Jesus for you every day, buddy. And I hope today is extremely special for you. Happy birthday. Michelle Melkin has been one of the real warriors on the right over the past few years. A lot of conservatives say that they oppose cancel culture, but Melkin really means it. And she stood up for figures like Nick Fuentes when others have denounced them. And she hasn't been afraid to take positions that'll get her in trouble with conservative outlets that try to stay respectable in Washington or in Silicon Valley. But Michelle has a new article out, What Every Parent Must Know About Pfizer. And it's worth reading because right now, there's a lot that's worth knowing about Pfizer. On Tuesday, Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla said that anyone who criticizes his vaccine is a criminal. Of course, if Bourla wants to find some criminals, he might consider looking around his own corporation. Here's some of the material from Melkin's article. Quote, 25 years ago, Pfizer sent a team to Nigeria during a meningitis outbreak. They conducted an open label or unblinded clinical trial involving 200 children. Half of them were given Pfizer's new antibiotic Trovan, and half of them received the gold standard treatment ceftriaxone. I believe I got that right. So we have a gold standard, a cheap treatment that works well, and then we have a novel new drug Pfizer really wants to sell. Sound familiar? Anyway, Melkin continues, quote, Pfizer used substantially lower doses of ceftriaxone to rig the trials in favor of Trovan. At the time of the Kano trial, Pfizer was pushing for FDA approval of their latest potential billion-dollar cash cow for pediatric use. 11 Nigerian children died. 5 after receiving Pfizer's product, and 6 after receiving lower-than-normal doses of the older drug. In one case, a 10-year-old girl was kept on Trovan even when it was obvious the drug was doing nothing, and eventually she died. By the way, there's evidence that Pfizer did all of these experiments on Nigerian children without any approval, and that they only got approval after the fact and then backdated the letter. According to a whistleblower, Pfizer bribed public officials and cut safety corners so they could keep their study going. Eventually, after a long lawsuit over this unauthorized human experimentation, Pfizer settled for $75 million. But that $75 million bought them something even more valuable, a strict confidentiality clause. Even that settlement only came after WikiLeaks published documents proving that Pfizer tried to dig up dirt on a Nigerian prosecutor so they could blackmail him into backing off. Thanks for that one, WikiLeaks. It makes you wonder if Pfizer is passing money around to make sure the United States keeps trying to imprison Julian Assange. And all of this is just one case. In 2009, Pfizer paid $2.3 billion for a medical fraud case when they paid doctors kickbacks to prescribe their products. It had to pay $300 million in settlements when their anti-smoking drug made the people taking it want to kill themselves. And there's more. And keep in mind, Pfizer does all of this, even in instances where they have to pay out millions or even billions of dollars when they get caught. Now think of how they're likely to handle COVID-19, where Congress has already given them complete legal immunity for any harms that come from their drugs. Michelle Melkin joins us now to talk more about this. I mean, the based position that you take here, the broad scope of what I'm reading makes it clear to me, at least, that these people, these Pfizer people, these big pharma companies are full-blown sociopathic killers. I mean, is that hyperbolic? Am I overstating this?
No, I think you've got it exactly right, Stu. And many of these officials should have been perp walked a long time ago. Informed consent didn't just die over the last year and a half. It was dead 25 years ago when these Pfizer trial organizers essentially exploited the ignorance and the language barriers with all of these Nigerian children and their parents who were involved. It also shows you that the exploitation and the experimentation involving children as guinea pigs didn't just start happening a year and a half ago. This happened 25 years ago, as I reported it, and as you made clear in talking about this column. A quarter century ago, the same types of tactics that are now being used as Pfizer deploys all of its minions and its operatives across the country to jab millions of already strong, healthy children with the new COVID jab shows you that they don't care. This, your children are the cost of Pfizer doing business. And now you've got Bourla out there threatening that anybody who, quote unquote, lies or spreads misinformation about his vaccine should be criminally prosecuted, when he's the one who should be behind bars in black and white uniform.
And you've got Merrick Garland, a guy who more than likely will take him up on that. Let's start prosecuting these people. That Stu Peters and Michelle Malkin, they're the first ones to the gulags. We're going to, you know, solitary confinement if we should speak out against a fraudulent election in 2020, or B, coronavirus response, and now three, Pfizer CEO Bourla. This is ridiculous. Vaccine passports are being outlawed in a lot of states. Governors use this pleasing rhetoric to pacify their base, but they're not telling you how the private sector is ushering in communism by introducing the smart health card. You've been all over this. What can you tell us?
Well, the Smart Health Card is approved now in five states and many countless counties. And there are taxpayers and parents who have no idea that this system has been introduced and has been in the works for years now. It's a consortium of big tech companies, big pharma companies. You've got Microsoft, you've got Oracle, you've got Cerner, you've got Boston Children's Hospital, which has had its fingerprints all over it. And so although it masquerades as a private nonprofit consortium, of course, it's got plenty of federal funding behind it. And the Vaccine Credential Initiative, VCI, which is how Smart Health Card is making the entire tracking and tracing system, quote unquote, interoperable, has its tentacles already deeply embedded in many of the health agencies, county agencies, and yes, schools. Parents especially, many of them, of course, who've now been electrified and are showing up at their school board meetings, need to demand answers from their county health departments. It's happening in my own backyard in my home state. But this is really the camel's nose under the tent. And if you look at Singapore as the example of this, which initiated a health card and tracking system like this, it is a way of turning ordinary citizens, individuals, and certainly our children into lifelong QR codes from cradle to grave.
Another criminal activity, by the way, showing up at these school board meetings and being, quote unquote, electrified, using your words. You're not allowed to do that anymore. Speaking out at school board meetings makes you a domestic terrorist and a felon. So Rand Paul has Tony Fauci in front of him. There's a lot of, you know, grandstanding and a lot of catchphrases and viral videos and big donate here buttons all over the place. I think there's some for Marjorie Taylor Greene as well, and others that are prolific and outspoken about arresting Tony Fauci. Do they have the authority to do that? I mean, is there a furtherance that could happen here that's not happening? Or is this just a big grift?
Unfortunately, there's a lot of rhetoric. There's a lot of money being raised over issuing these kinds of threats, which ultimately I have seen time and time again end up empty. And I think that, there are many good representatives in the swamp who are doing their best on this issue. I would also single out Paul Gosar and Thomas yes. Massey as good ones on our side. But ultimately, I think at this point, and Rand Paul really has been the best, I think, advocate on behalf of anyone who has expressed vaccine hesitancy, not just over the last year and a half, but over the last several years, to understand that it's not just about COVID and it's not just about one particular vaccine. Even before the so-called pandemic, plandemic, scandemic appeared on the scene, there were already moves in a place like Massachusetts, which has a nominal Republican governor, to mandate the flu shot as a condition of access to education. We had Rick Perry, a Republican governor in Texas, who ran through an executive order to mandate that Gardasil be taken by both girls and boys as a condition of education in middle school. And of course, all of his staff was being paid off and working for Merck. So really, this is about cleaning up the swamp within the Republican Party, who are every bit as guilty as the Democrats and Anthony Fauci, who, of course, was put in place and prominence by Donald Trump, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I could be here all day long, Michelle, talking about Democrats and progressives, radical communists, but we know who they are. It's inside of our own house, you know, here amongst these so-called conservatives, fake MAGA, fake America First. It's been hijacked. And these are the people who are the most dangerous, in my opinion. And I'm not saying that Rand Paul is that guy, because I think that Rand has done a lot to bring, you know, information to light and to the public via these hearings. But I'm just wondering, why aren't we taking the step? I mean, Fauci lied to Congress. That's proven. He's committed criminal offenses. And if these deaths can be attributed to actions intentionally done, taken by Tony Fauci, we hanged Saddam Hussein for less death. Really, I mean, we did in front of a world stage. And then also, why isn't this Pfizer CEO in the seat right next to Tony Fauci with everything that has come to light with these shots? It's just absolutely insane.
I agree with you. And, you know, we always have to ask the question when we see the theater and the sort of performative drumming of any number of these officials in the public health deep swamp. To what end? You know, is the end another appearance on Fox News and prime time? Is the end a book deal? And I talk as someone, as you know, Stu, who spent a lot of time in Con Inc., but always felt out of place when I was deemed too extremist on certain issues, yeah, whether it was immigration or race or vaccines. Because a lot of your viewers might not know this, but many of my readers over the last 25 years do. I've expressed a grave amount of hesitancy, resistance, skepticism, and opposition to not only mandatory vaccines, but of course, the massive explosion of the pediatric schedule over the last 25 years and the atrocious and tragic long-term consequences of all the synergistic effects from these profit-maximizing companies and their products, which they have literally shoved down the throats and jabbed into the arms of otherwise healthy children.
We saw the same thing. You brought up Fox. We saw the same thing happen with Sheriff Clark. I mean, he was the black guy that dared to leave the plantation and, you know, think for himself, not stick a lot, and they fired him because he didn't go along with their narrative. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And anybody who's grandstanding over there on that network, you got to take a second look at them, especially if they get their own shows. Trey Gowdy, where did he get us with all of his investigations? So you've been on the ground.
Absolutely.
So you've been on the ground fighting alongside parents in Colorado, taking real action, inspiring noncompliance with vaccine mandates. How important is it to bring attention to this?
It is vitally important. And I think it's a good answer to the question, to what end? No, Anthony Fauci is not going to be thrown behind bars anytime soon, but you can show up to your local Board of Health or county commissioner meeting and get immediate action. And that is what has happened, because these vaccine passport systems are now quietly being expanded across the country, and alert citizens are making sure that it doesn't just get rammed through. It's happening in Larimer County. And a couple of weeks ago, I showed up with Del Bigtree and Kevin Jenkins and Robbie Rose and a number of organizers, along with 2,500 energized, electrified citizens in a snowy field in Fort Collins. And the system there has been put on quote unquote pause. They're on the hot seat now. And in the meantime, right here in my literal backyard of El Paso County, an otherwise supposedly still red dot in blue Colorado, in Colorado Springs, they sprung a last minute meeting in the middle of the morning yesterday to discuss. No, they deny that it was a mandatory system. It was just merely a recommendation endorsing vaccines from cradle to nursing home. And that was put on pause as well. It is vitally important that people remain as vigilant as possible and to use independent outlets like yours, which is so valuable, Stu, and to circumvent Silicon Valley in order to communicate with each other, grassroots, on the ground, and raise your voices.
Why do you think it is that Hannity is, you know, I mean, he's a vaccine salesperson, basically. But why do you think it is that these networks, now Newsmax enforcing a vaccine mandate as well, what is it? What's going on? Why are these people ignoring the fact that this shot in 9 months has killed more people, taken more lives, double the amount of deaths attributed to this one shot in 9 months than every single previously rolled out vaccine combined? Why is that a non-entity for the media?
Yeah, well, all corporate media, whether it identifies as right of center or left of center, if it's centered in New York and Los Angeles, is still corporate media. And all corporate media, in some degree, is controlled opposition. And it's really just a matter of degree. It's not whether, it's how much. And I mean, all of us know who have been involved in this fight about the billions and billions of dollars in pharmaceutical advertising that is poured into the coffers of every corporate media outlet. Some are more transparent than others. And of course, people are more alert now to the little italicized five-point font disclaimer at the end of a web article on NBC News that this article highlighting the supposed alleged benefits of whatever product of the pharmaceutical companies was, you know, sponsored by, you know, the Gates Foundation or Pfizer or what have you. And so that's, I mean, economists have this phrase, right? Revealed preferences. We don't really need to guess about the motives or what it is that's in Sean Hannity's mind. His revealed preference is to be a shill for Big Pharma. And yet, see, here's the problem. Here's another revealed preference. You've got the millions of Fox News viewers still, even after all of the fiascos of last election cycle, still tuning in. So they say they hate big media. They say they hate lies and fake news and propaganda, and they're still tuning into it.
Nobody's going to buy advertising if they don't have any eyes watching it. So if you want to take the money from the honeypot, turn it off. Stop watching these people. And I hate to say it, but you know that includes Newsmax. And we have to be able to call these people out by name. Otherwise, we're weak and we're one of them, and we're not going to do that. We're going to stand up here, and I know that you do it. You are a real fighter, and it's about time you've been on this program. It's past time that you were here. We appreciate you coming. I got about a minute left. What's your final words?
I appreciate you, and I just want to encourage particularly everyone in Colorado to join me and to join me on the ground. You can follow me on my Gab account at Michelle Malkin, at Telegram, at Michelle Malkin, and while it lasts on Twitter. I haven't completely walked away from it. I still think it's useful. There are still a lot of good people fighting on that, but you know, I think the more that we can wean ourselves
away. You've got 2 million sets of eyes.
Time here.
Yeah, I mean, you've got 2 million sets of eyes over there. It would be a travesty for you to ignore them. So I wrote it out until I was kicked off. I don't think there's any shame in that game at all. Michelle Malkin, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Take care, Stu. Appreciate you.
Well, Dr. Ariana Love is a naturopathic doctor from Finland, and the last time she was on, we had a great time, so we definitely wanted to have her back, especially after receiving the email that she sent us yesterday. Last night, we received a file with a whole bunch of material, which is so far-reaching, it's difficult to summarize here. Now, we know all about the research coming out of Spain supporting the idea that at least some of the batches of coronavirus shots have graphene oxide in them, despite the medical establishment, of course, repeatedly claiming otherwise. Now, Dr. Love says that graphene oxide is what's to blame for the flu-like symptoms of COVID-19, and she says that graphene oxide is included as a way to deliver nanotechnology into our blood. But listen to this. Dr. Love says that Johnson & Johnson's vaccines trigger mass sterility and include components of Ebola and the Marburg virus. In Dr. Love's words, they aren't simply pretending to fight this pandemic. They're deliberately paving the way for the next one, which will be far deadlier. It's all quite a lot to take in, so we have Ariana Love here to describe her discoveries in more detail. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me back, Stu.
So we're beginning to hear a lot more about this Marburg virus, and I want to get there, but I'm interested in your assertion about the COVID injections. Did I get that right? Is there Ebola virus in these shots?
Yes, they're using Ebola and Marburg. Basically, okay, there was a shocking discovery from the Stockholm University. They did a scientific study that revealed that the spike proteins, they're penetrating the cells of the vax, reaching the cell nuclei, and disabling the cell's ability to repair DNA. And this is huge. This is by no accident, though. These COVID vaccines are deleting genes responsible for DNA repair forever in humans. The U.S. patent 201-400-17278 is the adenovirus 26 and 35 filovirus. These vaccines code your cell with Ebola and Marburg spike proteins. This is in the J&J vax. So these vaccines are deleting the E1, E3, and E4 genes, and it's mentioned, that's mentioned in the patents. So through my research, I found that the deletion of these genes induces AIDS. It causes blood coagulation, thrombosis, and clotting. So Johnson & Johnson is using the adenovirus 26 vector, which deletes the E1 gene in humans, also known as chromosome X. The E1 gene is required for the repair of damaged DNA. Without it, your cells will literally self-suicide, and that is AIDS. They are inducing AIDS. They're deleting the E1 gene, causing embryonic lethality. That means permanent sterility. It causes a lack of oxygen in the blood as well, which leads to rapid cancer growth. So we can expect that. People who take this vaccine will have a life of chronic illness and neurological dysfunction, chronic infections and disabilities, and anything that has to do with the nervous system dysfunction. Then there's another patent, U.S. Patent 1069417 is the human adenovirus 5 vector, and it contains the E1, E2B gene deletion, and that's in the patents. So this is used by Sinovac and maybe other vaccines. I'll have to research it deeper, but it encodes the cells with the Ebola spike protein. And according to the animal studies, the deletion of the E2B gene causes sterility in males. The adenovirus 5 vector, it enters and targets the bronchial epithelial cells, which is the lungs, deleting the E3, E4 genes to intentionally create long-term autoimmunity, which is AIDS. The deletion of the E3 gene, it degenerates the brain, it induces dementia, it causes gradual loss of memory and judgment and the ability to function, which is also known as prion.
What can you tell us about this Marburg? This Marburg thing, it's coming out of, there's somebody, some guy coming out of, I don't even know what country it is. He's been talking a lot about this, and it's all over the internet. And he's saying that this thing has like an 88% kill rate, but that they're going to market it that way as a scare to push people into their homes. They won't need to require lockdowns. People will be running for their lives because everybody will be dying, not telling people that this isn't actually a virus, but that this is a bacteria and that it can be treated with your standard antibiotics and virtually nobody would die. What do you know about this?
Well, okay. Yes. Marburg, E. coli, and Ebola are both made with the E. coli bacteria. And what they are doing is it is so disgusting. They're using funguses and other bacteria, plasmids. What they're doing is they are genetically modifying a chimpanzee with human. They're making a clone species. And then they infect it with something, make it sick. And then they take the decaying and rotting flesh tissue from this monstrosity. And it's a hodgepodge of these things. There are no viruses whatsoever. They just call it that as a diversion to divert our attention from the reality that this is made with bacteria, and especially E. coli, which is deadly to 36% of people who are exposed to it. So they are deleting genes. They are deleting people's intelligence. They are deleting our own body's defense to repair itself. And also, the deletion of these genes, it affects the moisture-producing glands of your body, which leads to coagulation and blood clotting. This is how they're doing it. It's from gene deletion. It also alters the cell signaling pathways and, of course, suppresses the immune system. And then people will have chronic respiratory and COVID-like symptoms. These loss of these genes also induces Epstein-Barr, which is the number one listed side effect of vaccine injury in children. So Big Pharma is claiming openly and publicly, these biotech firms are saying that they're immunizing against Ebola. That's in the patents. They're immunizing against Marburg. But what they are doing is they are infecting people. They are transfecting people's cells so that their own cells will continuously reproduce this pathogen, this deadly pathogen, and make them contagious to others.
If this is in the Johnson & Johnson shots, is there any reason to believe that it's not in the Moderna or in the Pfizer?
Exactly. I mean, I'm going to keep researching this, but they're using the same base plasmids, putrid plasmids like E. coli in all of these vaccines. There's no virus in any of them in what I've researched. So they're not immunizing against anything. This is the big lie. They are producing infection and they are making people contagious to each other. And also the U.S. government, they've been testing this technology since the 1950s. They have been using the adenovirus 4, 5, and 7 vectors since 1950 and testing it on U.S. military troops. It has an HIV encoding envelope, which is the clade C1086. That is nanotechnology. This is nothing new under the sun. I don't know where they got the technology from, but it's been going on for a long time.
Happy Veterans Day. We're going to have you back to talk more about the graphene oxide, the nanotechnology, and as this Marburg thing develops, we want to be out in front of this, making sure that everybody is aware. Do you know of the actual effective way to treat Marburg, this bacteria? We have heard it's through your standard antibiotics. Is that true? Is an antiparasitic the way to treat this? Do you have any idea?
I don't like antibiotics. Antibiotics, they wreck your digestive system and they oftentimes just don't work. They destroy the body's natural defense. So there are other alternatives. There is a product that I am selling that I can't mention because the company doesn't let me, but it works. We have images under microscopy that prove that it decoagulates the blood, kills parasites. I think anything that kills parasites, because they are using not viruses, but parasites to infect people. Chimeric and these transgenic parasites that carry these pathogens. So anything that kills parasites, and of course, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine does that. There's Dr. Zelenko's C-Stack. But there are natural things that can disable this operating system. You don't need to use antibiotics.
Making people more contagious, self-spreading, self-transmitting little diseases is what people and now kids are being injected with. And if you want a non-scientific study, all you have to do is look to Israel. This is the most inoculated country on the face of the planet that has virtually the highest COVID infection rate on the face of the planet. Then you look to India, virtually no shots given there, virtually no COVID there. I mean, it's right out in front of everybody's face. The entire world should be able to see this. Dr. Arianna Love, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Stu.
All of these shots, all of these so-called vaccines, even the seasonal ones, they don't work like they're advertised. And they put you at tremendous risk. You heard Dr. Love mention Dr. Zelenko's protocol. Go to zstackprotocol.com right now. Great time to remind you to do that. Now, Dr. Z was on the program just a couple of weeks ago, dropped an atomic bomb about influenza and how his protocol can help to prevent against that, as well as all kinds of other viruses. Now, Dr. Love saying that even Marburg and Ebola and AIDS and things like that, these chimerically engineered bacterias can be prevented using this protocol. Go to zstackprotocol.com right now. Pre-order the gummies. Keep your kiddos, keep the little ones safe and protected. Lord Jesus, please do that. Go to zstackprotocol.com right now. Pre-order the gummies. And for yourself, put yours on auto ship to avoid any delays because of the high demand as more and more people learn how to protect themselves. You're going to want to have this stuff on hand. ZStackProtocol.com. Go to ZStackProtocol.com. The Nobel Prize nominee, Presidential Medal of Freedom nominee, the humanitarian genius who saved thousands of lives because he believes in early treatment protocol and it worked. High-risk COVID patients in his care, 99.9% recovery rate. That's the only stat that I need to know why I take the ZStack protocol. Hope you will too. Go to zstackprotocol.com. Are you reimagining America now? Are we building back better? It feels great. Only in Biden's America can a young man be tried for murder after defending himself against a criminal child molester with a gun pointed directly at his face, ready to end his life on the streets of Kenosha, Wisconsin. Kyle Rittenhouse is being subjected to a sham trial for exactly that. Deanna Lorraine is here to help us make some sense of this, if she can. The fact that this clown show is even allowed to carry on in America is a complete disgrace.
Absolutely. I mean, at the core of this is, are you able to defend yourself? If there's an attacker that comes after you, are you able to properly defend yourself from getting killed? Because the fact of the matter is, if it wasn't this other individual that ran after him that got killed out of self-defense, then it would have been Kyle. I mean, no doubt about it. So there's been a lot of revelations coming out in this trial. And if you haven't watched the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, please watch it. It is riveting. It's so amazing. And it's really interesting to watch. And Kyle Rittenhouse himself, it was a risk, you know, putting him on trial yesterday and putting him on the stand. But I think he did a tremendous job. He was very honest, very credible. And I can't imagine anyone watching his testimony and believing that he was in the wrong, to be honest with you. If you haven't watched it, some of the key highlights are, number one, it's clear that it was self-defense. Kyle Rittenhouse told several times that the attackers that came after him specified with threats, "I'm going to kill you." And another guy said, "Kill that mother effer, kill him, get him and kill him." I mean, they were direct threats over and over saying that they were going to kill Kyle. They came after him. What was he supposed to do? It's clear in the evidence and in his testimony and in the testimony of the others that this was a clear black and white self-defense case.
If somebody's holding a gun and they tell you that they are going to kill you,
right,
you have to take them at their word.
You have to. What other choice do you have? And then if someone runs and tries to get your gun, again, it's going to be you or them at the end of the day.
If a criminal tries to grab a cop's gun, they will shoot them dead. I mean, that is the presence of imminent great bodily harm or death. Yeah. And that is when you are allowed to defend yourself with deadly force.
Right. And he had an immense amount of restraint and trigger control, and all of his training really came to light. He did not, by the way, cross over state lines with the rifle. He picked it up in Kenosha. So that was another key point in the trial. Some of the witnesses have said that the state tried to pressure them to change their testimony or statement to hurt Kyle. And again, they felt like they were being pressured to change things in order to deflect from the truth, which is that Kyle was acting out of self-defense. So that was interesting as well. I mean, the state looks really, really bad here. Also, the state's attorney said there were several times where he was called out by the judge. Now the judge, I really respect him, and he has called out the other attorneys several times saying, "You guys are out of line. You guys are operating out of bias. You're trying to overstep the law on political issues."
They tried to question how long Kyle Rittenhouse exercised his right to remain silent.
Right. Saying that how that as somehow, you
an
know,
admission
him
of
with
guilt.
Guilt.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The right to remain silent is not an admission of guilt. I mean, the Constitution specifically says this.
Right. And the judge reamed him out for this, and rightfully so. Several other occasions, too. And I think this is a judge that's very fair. It's clear that he stands up for the Constitution. He's today wearing a tie with American flags on it, which some people have something to say about it. But hey, doesn't matter, because this is a judge that I think is going to be, again, it's not about being on our side or on another person's side. This is somebody that I think is going to be fair. And Kyle yesterday in his
testimony. What country's flag would they rather the judge wears on his necktie?
Just out of curiosity. No, it's true, an Antifa flag?
Yeah.
Right. And Kyle broke down when he started talking about how he shot the looters, the rioters, and they ended up having to take a short recess. And honestly, it's just when you watch it, you realize this was a kid who was scared for his life. He broke down. I'm sure he has PTSD from it, and it shows. But this is someone that had to make a quick choice. He didn't want to kill anybody. Who wants to kill somebody? It's clear that he didn't want to, but he had to. He was forced in that decision. And I know there's going to be riots if he's proven innocent, but I can't imagine him not being proven innocent out of self-defense with all of these facts.
To that point, Deanna, this is, I think, what's really clear to me is if Kyle Rittenhouse is convicted of murder in this sham trial.
Yeah.
The demonic, satanic, globalist left, the lawless criminal communists get exactly what they want.
Right.
But if Kyle Rittenhouse is acquitted or somehow the judge says, you know, I'm just done with this. I'm not allowing this to go on. The charges are dismissed, which by all intents and purposes, he could do and probably should just based on what I've seen. But I haven't seen all of the evidence. The judge is there. It's not fair for me to speculate or to demand that the judge do a certain thing or doesn't. I don't have, that's way above my pay grade. But if that does happen or otherwise Rittenhouse walks in whatever way, the lawless, Satanist, godless, communist criminals also get exactly what they want because yes. Criminals will riot. They will burn occupied police precincts once again. They will light fire to churches. They will loot. They will rape. They will pillage. And they will do it all with impunity because right. Communists will normalize that chaos on the streets of American soil once again.
And that's a fact. You know, they already have their rioters, their paid rioters. In looters already lined up, I'm sure, and ready for this moment. So it's almost like a win-win for them either way. But it's going to be so much more devastating if they win and Kyle gets convicted, because that will set a precedent that we'll never be able to erase, which is truly, you cannot defend yourself anymore in America. You are not going to be able to defend yourself against a mob or any attackers or intruders, especially if it's from the left. And what's going to happen then to our right to self-defense? I mean, that's a really scary and dangerous road. And I truly pray that doesn't happen.
We are watching an attorney general criminalize moms and dads in flyover country for defending their kids' right to breathe oxygen in school. Yes. That is a criminal offense. These people are now considered domestic terrorists. I mean, let that really sink in. I know people know this, but really try to process that.
Yeah.
This is what's happening in America. This is not fake. This is not a show. This is really happening.
Right. It's such a pivotal case, just like the St. Louis couple who were defending themselves in their own property.
That's right.
When a rabid mob came over there and tried to attack them in their own property, and they're not allowed to defend themselves. So this, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse trial is so pivotal to our freedom in America from this point forward. And are we going to be labeled a domestic terrorist if we dare try to defend ourselves, or do we still have that right of self-defense?
And the hypocrisy from these people, get rid of prisons, stop locking up the masses. And the same person then saying, lock up Kyle Rittenhouse forever and throw away the key. You know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Communism knows no bounds, and it's here right now. The only way that it's going to go away is if we stand behind Kyle Rittenhouse, people like him, and most importantly, alongside the Constitution. This has been the document that has been a beacon of light for the entire world for 200 years.
Yeah.
And any conviction in this case just means you might as well just throw it in the shredder. It's unbelievable. Deanna Lorraine, thanks for the breakdown. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Godless commies. This is not just some trending hashtag. These people are real. They're inside of our government. Oftentimes, even pretending to be conservatives, trying to deceive, pull the wool over the eyes of unsuspecting Americans as they grift, raise all kinds of money in the name of defeating the communist globalists, and then in turn will take the money off of the back of the blue-collar, hardworking, flyover middle American, the middle-class guy, gal, woman, grandma, grandpa, brother, sister, cousin, and then give it right back to the pimp for the communists. That's what these are. These are little call girls out here. Little whores, little communist whores is what they are. Step on them. Step on all these globalists. Step on the snakes. Go to steponsocks.com right now. These are American patriots. These are patriot-designed all-cotton socks. Get the classic version, Obama, Clinton, Fauci, Gates, Pelosi, Biden. Step on these snakes all day long. Or my favorite, the Trust in God sock. The runner-up would be the new one, the Free Our Kids sock. Three different flags available now as well at steponsocks.com, as well as precious metals. Yes, they sell silver at steponsocks.com. Support this program. Support patriots. Shop direct at steponsocks.com. Make sure that you mention Stu Peters when you go to steponsocks.com. You know, my dad is a veteran of the United States Air Force. Dave Peters, he served in Vietnam. When I was growing up, my dad didn't talk a whole lot about his experience there. Similar to a lot of veterans. They bottle it up. They don't talk a lot about it. I know that he dug up undetonated landmines and bombs. I know that he put them on helicopters. I know that he loaded bombs on planes. I know that he cleared a pathway for frontline troops who, just like him, signed up to make the ultimate sacrifice and die for this country. Imagine that. Signed up to die for liberty. Signed up to die for our freedom. And my dad, like most of the veterans I know, doesn't want recognition. He doesn't look in the mirror and see a hero, but he does acknowledge that he's walked alongside many of them. And he honors our servicemen. He honors our military and what it's supposed to represent. But to me, my dad is a hero. He was the first real-life superhero I ever met. When Dave Peters served, he wasn't learning about transgender acceptance. His squadron wasn't training to prepare for a rigorous fight against climate change or systemic racism. Dave Peters and those other courageous individuals have seen real enemies, real threats to United States national security. But today's warmongers, Lindsey Graham, Paul Ryan, Nikki Haley, the Biden autocratic regime, and literally every Democrat, look at my dad and every other brave young service member with nothing but contempt. They don't mind sending them to die for their personal enrichment. They don't mind sending them to fight endless and senseless wars. They don't mind sending them to be blown to pieces in third world hellholes or beheaded in some desert thousands of miles away, only to empower themselves, only to use military interventions as a racket for the shadowy ruling class. Here's $100,000. Sorry for the loss of your son. You'll never hold him again. Now go away. These are kids. They're just getting done with high school. They have their first girlfriend. They're just getting started with life. They're signing up to serve their country. They might be following in the footsteps of family members that came before them and served before them. But they're realizing the value of the constitutionally protected freedoms that we enjoy. And they acknowledge that this country was liberated with violence. And they understand that our enemies, in a lot of cases, cannot be reasoned with, but that our enemies can only sometimes be defeated on their soil with violence and through the horror of combat. And they're willing to do it because they believe in America. They believe in American exceptionalism. They have brothers, sisters, parents, cousins, maybe plans for a future family of their own. And they're willing to sacrifice it all to preserve the safety of those that they love so much. They're willing to die for them. But not only are they willing to die for their own bloodline, they're willing to die to shed blood for those that they've never even met and likely never will. They're willing to die for perfect strangers. No matter their color, no matter their religious ideology, no matter their political party affiliation, they're willing to die for you in exchange for pennies towards some post-secondary education. But today, this demonic Biden Reich wants to thank them for that sacrifice by injecting them with an unapproved bioweapon that's proven itself to be dangerous and in many cases deadly. And if they should choose not to submit, they can be thrown out of the armed forces. They could even be court-martialed and thrown into the brig. There is no honor among the satanic globalist scum that has been installed into power against the will of the American people. But we honor you. I honor you. I am so grateful for your service. I am so thankful for your courage, for your bravery. It takes a special and unique, strong individual to accept the assumed consequences of horrific battle. The lifelong psychological impact of service. The physical risk of injury, permanent disability, loss of limb, loss of life. And I acknowledge that. I thank Jesus for your heart. And I don't only honor you on Veterans Day. I pray for you daily, and I want to say that out loud. Thank you. Edward Zoll spent some time with veterans today, and we want to check in with him. Edward, with all of the godless chaos in this country, the veterans that you talked to today, was the sacrifice worth it?
Stu, that's a question that many veterans today have, many here, even myself. Was it worth it? Was the sacrifice, the loss of holidays, the loss of family and friends, was it worth it? The question today, however, is will that sacrifice stand? And we spoke to many veterans, colonels, low enlisted, Vietnam War, even going back to World War II. Today, November 11th, is the day that World War I ended. It was supposed to be the war that ended all wars. Now, clearly that didn't happen. The wars continued. As the book of James tells us, we fight each other because we want what other people have. But this country right now is in a fight for its survival and a fight for its character and what it even stands for. We spoke to some veterans today. Here they are.
The military has a long history, particularly the Army. And don't allow societal ills and the climate of society dictate, you know, leaving the military. The soldiers that I'm still in contact with, even the chaplains, I'm the endorser for my denomination over the chaplains. I think there's a patriotic push or zeal to stay and honor the foundation of our country and what was started. There's a lot of younger soldiers, millennials, that are saying, we don't know whatever else, but I think the chaplains are on the forefront really saying, you know, look at the bigger push and the bigger cause.
The sacrifice may have not been worth it to in the minds of some when you look at the outcome. On the other hand, the sacrifice was worth every minute when your actions saved another human life. The lives of your friends, the lives of our allies, even the lives of our enemies who were victims of their circumstances. So yes, I wish we hadn't done it, but for those who made significant sacrifices, families who lost sons and daughters, don't feel that your country has betrayed you. Your brethren in uniform certainly have not betrayed you.
In Flanders Field, the poppies blow. Between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky, the larks still bravely singing, fly. Scarce heard amid the guns below, we are the dead short days ago. We lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Field. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from falling hands we throw. The torch be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders Field.
We have a constitution. We have a form of government where the people themselves are the true destiny makers of this nation. Our political officials, they're elected to represent us, right? Sometimes that might get out of whack, and we see things like what we saw in the withdrawal from Afghanistan. Poorly done, not led correctly, but nonetheless, our military works for civilian leaders. So our military, in some cases, may feel, and our population may feel, that what's happening may be unjust, but that will work itself out in the process of elections, right? And we will have a say in those things. So if our elected officials are not doing what we really truly need them to do, they won't last very long. The people will have their day. So it is. Their sacrifices, their service is all for the good, because we have a brotherhood. During the war in Afghanistan and then leading into Iraq, if you remember, the anthrax thing came up. That was a time of actual war. Right now, we've got no war. So a mandate really has no place in our military for shoving these kinds of things down the throats of our military members. There is going to be a constitutional play in this, and that our leadership, in many cases, and I've made the argument with friends around our community here, is that we need more Curtis LeMays, we need more George Pattons, we need leaders that will put a finger in the face of our elected officials and tell them, not today. It's not what we need, it's not necessary. And let's see what happens. We need a new election. We need to see how this goes.
Battalion! Attention! Huh! Present! Huh! Fire the salute!
If anybody's considering sacrifice, my idea is that, of course, I didn't consider it a sacrifice because I only did what I had to do.
How would you explain freedom and the Constitution to someone my age? Why does it matter?
Well, it matters because when you see other countries that are not free and they don't have the privileges that we have, that's the way I look at it. And I think whatever the sacrifice is worth it to have your freedom.
As you heard, sacrifice is not something just for the last generation. Our generation has the fight of our lives ahead of us against communism, against tyranny, against those who seek to dismantle the Constitution and to persecute Christians. But if those veterans will take a stand and will continue to, you and I should too. Reporting for the Stu Peters Show, I'm Edward Zoll.
Edward Zoll, excellent report. Thank you for that. We now go to Carlos Cortez. He's the premier sponsor here on the show, but today's Money Minute is a little more heartfelt, and Carlos just has a message for veterans.
I love our 82nd Airborne. There are some badass troops. I love them. I grew up in the 82nd Airborne boot camp. I'm from Spring Lake, North Carolina. Later, I grew up in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I saw the children of these awesome men and women that fought in Desert Storm. And even their kids were really affected. And people don't realize how hard it is on their families to literally grow up in a military home. So my heart to yours, my hat is tipped to you guys. And I just want to say, I love you all. You are true heroes. You are true lifesavers. And thank you for all of our veterans.
And thank you for the freedom that we have to do exactly this. If you like an ad-free experience, exclusive behind-the-scenes content, and extended interviews, sign up for premium right now. Go to redvoicemedia.com/premium. Again, redvoicemedia.com/premium. Happy Veterans Day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you. God bless.